Chat.
Rugby chat.
Rugby chat.
Open a beer. You still full of gas?
Yeah, it's from last week. Been holding on to that fart for a week.
My arrival.
You want to do that one first?
Yeah.
I was looking.
This is the primary sponsor's beer.
Okay.
So we got to drink this one first.
So we have a primary and a secondary.
We do.
How did you decide who was primary and who was secondary?
The primary sponsor sponsored us first a couple of weeks ago.
All right. Okay.
So.
Fantastic. You know what that means?
We may have. To tell the people that there's sound issues going on.
We're having sound issues, so we got our old school mic that we recorded our first few pods on.
Which may not sound as beautiful.
It's crisp. So we're still re-recorded. It's not coming from that mic.
If it's coming from the camera, I apologize.
We've really screwed the pooch somewhere along the lines. But Mark's mic, this is probably for just aesthetic purposes now.
Yeah. So it looks like we're doing a podcast.
We're just a couple of podcasters. But really... We're not. Well, mine's working perfectly, but there's a cord issue over here that we need to get resolved.
We do.
So, unfortunate, but these are the
Thankfully,
things.
Thankfully, we noticed early, so we were able to put the 100%. Backup microphone, which, if you know your microphones, is a lot better than listening to the recording from the camera, which just sounds terrible.
If you're a microphone aficionado.
Exactly.
Yeah. People do notice even when people aren't soundophiles, they know it. Everyone knows.
Bad sound.
When something sounds like shit, they know it.
Yeah. They always say when you're... starting a new YouTube channel, get the sound right. Don't worry too much about the video. The sound's more important because people will watch kind of bad video, but they won't listen long to bad sound.
Yeah, if there's like a whistling in the background or a feedback noise, people are going like, wait, turn that off.
Exactly right.
But I like the way you're still...
Just in case.
Like, is it showing...
No, it's not doing much at all.
It's doing about one out of every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Tony's going to sit there and he's going to...
Just... Chop and chop and chop.
Every single time. So I'll sound good, bad, good, bad, or just bad, worse.
Yeah. Anyway, this has been a cracking start to this podcast, and we just want to wrap it up there. So thank you so much for watching.
It's been good to see you guys on Two Cents Gets Distracted.
It's a regular podcast.
Talking about microphones.
That's right.
Drinking some beers.
Well, look, I'm excited. I like this beer.
Yes.
Panhead, but...
Did you see my email earlier?
I did actually.
So you know why I bought a beer called Supercharger.
Super Panhead is like about cars.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, Panhead is a car term.
I didn't know that.
It's specific. Like there's, it's all about cars.
I just saw the word Supercharger and grabbed it.
Like it's a car term.
Electricity.
And all these things are around cars.
Okay, well, but this guy's an idiot. If you didn't know that already, now it's confirmed.
I don't know what a panhead actually is, but it's a car thing.
So it's not it's not a type of fish.
I was in the Panhead pub down in Wellington a couple of weeks ago, and it was all car memorabilia.
Is that right?
And yeah, then I know 100% it's a car thing.
Well, there you go. I've learned something today. Supercharger is also a car thing.
Yeah.
But I was thinking electricity.
But, you know, I need to charge my phone. I need a supercharger.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Because we've got a... Well, we're jumping straight into the
sponsorship. We better have, because we've got two sponsors to get through.
And we've got some serious rugby chat to get into.
So much rugby chat.
Oh, I don't have my glasses. But...
Oh, you can still squint.
Yeah, okay. Sounds good to me.
This is not a script.
This
is just an expert excerpt of the email with a few key points. But I'm sure it does sound good to you.
That's what my line was. Sounds good to me. How about the podcast just after the AB's next game? 17th of August?
That's us.
That's where we are. Okay. So, fantastic. We've got a brilliant... I like these guys for a couple of reasons.
Mm.
Because I like to have things turned on in my house.
Yes.
I like the lights to work.
Yes. If that light keeps playing up, you need to give these guys a call.
Yeah, what's wrong with the microphone connection? Can they help me with that?
I don't know if they do.
Probably have more insights than I would.
Mm.
Anyway, so this week's sponsor is Zed Electrical. Based on the North Shore, but they go more Auckland-wide than that. Their website is zed-electrical.co.nz. And you can also follow them on Facebook. Just look up zed.electrical.nz.
Go engage with them on social media, because they're an Auckland electrician.
Yeah, you want to get turned on? These boys will...
Plug you in.
Yeah. I'll get you turned on. There's a small team. There's three of us. They do residential, commercial, new builds, repairs, renovations, and even flipping heat pumps.
I know.
You know, the thing about a heat pump, right? We call them heat pumps, but they're also cool pumps.
Yeah.
They're air conditioning units.
They're air conditioning units as well. There must be a catch-all term for both.
Yeah, why did cool pumps never turn catch on? Why did I have to go heat pumps?
Mm.
Anyway, he's been a qualified electrician for 13 years, and the business has been going 7 years. And look, fun fact, he's one of the...
I like this next line, because my wife would quite appreciate this line.
There's nothing worse than... love a tradesman.
Love a tradie.
Doing a good job. Them with their glistening muscles coming over, and I come by and offer.
They emasculate you as they're like, oh,
you know, this could be something you could do. I left my tools at the old place at the shop. No, but he's one of the very few. He says one of maybe six Sparkies across Auckland that knows how to use a vacuum. So basically, he's trying to say he tidies up after himself.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's from the North Shore. That's where I'm from.
Exactly. He did some rugby clubs. I forget which one, but he did some rugby clubs. It's on his Facebook page. He did the rugby clubs out.
He hasn't got clubs on the North Shore. He hasn't got his names. His name's Zane. And because it's a rugby podcast, here's my boys 8 and 11. Carving it up for Northgate.
He sent some pictures, but I don't know if we should edit them onto Rugby Podcast.
Just imagine.
His boys play rugby.
I was about to say something strange.
Don't do that.
I was about to imagine.
His boys play rugby.
Yeah, what a legend. For Northgate.
And he says he lives vicariously through them, so his body can't handle that anymore.
Yeah, much more than refing and coaching. We need the refs and coaches. He sounds like a good man. What's his name?
Zane.
Zane. You look at his email. Blooming legend. Zane@zedelectrical.co.nz. He had a phone number. Should we put his phone number? 021. We're doxing him here. You want to get in touch with him? 021. This is a New Zealand area. Well, +64. 021. 220-8208. And tell him the good bastard's at.
2 cents get distracted. Sent you for your electrical needs. I wish I'd known, because right before my in-laws came... They're leaving in 16 days, by the way. And when they came in May, it is now August, just FYI, I had an extractor fan installed in my bathroom because it did have one, but it was pathetic.
Fantastic.
And I wish I'd got Zane to do my, fan.
I've got nothing against the Northcote Club, but they're no North Harbour Marist.
Oh, there you go.
They're no North Harbour
Tony
Marist.
Always finds something
to be a rival
to about. To be a rival
I don't
about.
Think I've ever met anybody who supports everything that I support.
This is true.
Yeah, why would you want to do that? Thank you very much for the beer. I appreciate it. You're an absolute legend.
I apologize. I got a car beer. Zane.
And to be fair, the people who are sponsoring us, let's be honest.
They're doing it for the love of it.
They're doing it because they enjoy the podcast. And so we really appreciate you. We really, exactly really right. That's not going to be a massive money spinner for them.
If he gets one customer.
Hey, you go. If you're just sitting there and you're on the North Shore.
I need a Sparky to do
you're
something.
You're there on Spinella Road in Glenfield. And you're going, this bloody heat pump of mine, is something wrong with it. I've tried to reset it. I've set it back to its factory settings. And your wife's like, or your husband, whatever, going, just get a bloke in to fix it. And you go, no, look, I've got the manual. Just get Zane in.
And that's what he's doing.
Yeah, exactly. He's
been in the business for a long time.
100%.
Mm. He's a big rugby man. So there you go.
Legend.
Cheers, Zane.
Okay. Then we got another one.
Do you want to
go sponsor section? you want to do it when we get to that beer?
Yeah, we can.
Okay. Between game, I'm almost finished this beer. Oh, no. The first beer.
How have you been anyway?
Wait, I've been good. I'm off to China.
He's trying to go to China.
Distracted on tour.
He's going to film an episode of Distracted on Tour. He's going to vlog. I'll give him a GoPro.
Yeah, exactly. I hope you guys want to check out all the great ladyboy joints around there. The ladyboy joints.
That's Thailand. Right. It's a different country.
Am I being a little bit racist by assuming that all Asian countries have ladyboy joints?
You get to go to China for your work.
I do.
And you're going to stay there for a couple of days.
Then I'm in and out. I'm hot and I'm cold.
Just like Zane with his plugs.
Yeah, exactly. He can sort out your spark plugs. Although that's another car reference.
Sorry all mechanics out there. If you're a mechanic looking to sponsor a rugby podcast, we're apparently very big on...
Yeah, we've got the beers for it.
Car stuff.
Yeah. Boy, we've got a beer coming up, which I thought last week's beer was pretty intimidating. This one looks like we're ready to play tennis.
I know.
Yeah, it's an odd one.
I bought it special, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, you go to China. I'm not going to China until December, so I won't see you there.
No, something's gone terribly wrong if I'm still there in December.
Yeah.
I'll be like, Mark,
I couldn't figure out these payment apps. Yeah, exactly. I'm in jail for not paying my cab driver.
I've been walking around this terminal for 6 months. We didn't do a podcast last week. Sorry about that. I was thinking about it. We probably could have just done a Super Championship, Rugby Championship preview episode, couldn't we? You look like you got all these cue cards.
Oh, yeah, because there's another sponsor coming.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's just get it done so I can find them. Come on.
This one is an actual script.
Oh, we got a script? Ba-boom. We got another sponsor. We don't...
Mark! Exciting times, Tony. We've got a bonus second sponsorship.
Motherfucker!
You're kidding. Specifically for kickoff weekend, the Rugby Championship is back. Are you excited?
Wait, did you say rugby's greatest championship?
No, just the Rugby Championship.
Well, it's got the most amount of World Cup
wins. Hey, it's not in the script.
Let's do the math. So there's been 10 World Cups and 9 of the winning teams, 9 of the winning cups are from this. So therefore, they must be the greatest Rugby Championship. Mark?
Say your line.
Oh. I thought you were talking about some Northern Hemisphere bravado bullshit that claims to be the greatest rugby championship. That used to be called the Five Nations until they added Italy for real value. Now they're known as the Six Nations.
Easy mistake to make. As with the Six Nations...
Look. Looks down the camera. Okay, hold. Rugby's greatest championship.
Exactly. As with the Six Nations, if you want to sound clever before kickoff, Sports Forecast has the models, edges, and projections ready to go.
So science says that... So Sports Forecast, would they tell me that World Championship is the greatest rugby championship based on the numbers? What would science actually tell me?
You have to check. Check the website out yourself.
I should check the numbers before I talk nonsense as well.
Exactly! Sports Forecast, so you can predict it before you claim you knew it all along.
Fantastic.
That's from Sports Forecast.
Yeah, I never really quite learnt that phrase. Maybe shut up rather than... It's better to be quiet and assume to be an idiot rather than speak and remove all doubt.
That's the one. That's a good quote, that one.
It is a great quote. And I really... I fail that one quite regularly.
Cheers to the folks. That's Graham from Sports Forecast. Had him Thank on the you, other day
Graham.
For a prediction.
Oh, I like his stuff.
He bought us a beer, which we will get legend. To shortly.
He didn't need to do that.
Well, he did because he just paid us to to read out an ad for his company.
I appreciate him. What a champ. Although, I'm sorry. Did I give him the fingers?
Yeah, you did.
Sorry, bro.
He loves the rugby's greatest championship, the rugby championship. He loves that thing.
He likes the shtick, does he? But yeah.
I think he just likes your reaction to it.
It irritates me.
I know. I think that's why he wanted to bring it up.
It grates me.
I think that's exactly... I think this is spite money, basically.
Where do they get off?
He's not actually advertising his website. He just wanted to piss you off a little bit.
Well, he bought me a beer, so...
There you go.
It's fair.
Can't complain too much.
It's a fair trade.
It is.
Fair trade. All right, Mark.
The Rugby Championship was on.
It was on. Holy fuck, Knuckle.
Went off like Donkey Kong.
Jeez Louise, man. What a game.
The All Blacks in Argentina.
Yeah, a real turn up for the books, that one.
Ellis Park.
Yes, the fortress.
No win for the Wallabies there since 1963.
And first one in 11 years.
2011 was the last time the Box lost years. To the Wallabies. James in O'Connor South Africa. Was on the right wing that day.
Wow.
He was the only player in either 23 who was
playing
this week.
He still looks young.
He does.
Still looks like
a bit of a baby face, doesn't he?
He sure does. What a game. Firstly, just a terrific game of rugby. As a neutral, it's like the stuff dreams are made of.
You watched this a little bit delayed.
I did.
You watched this while I was sleeping between the games because it was 3 a.m. and then 9 a.m. So I slept between.
At some
point, you got up.
Yeah, I got up.
And you texted me 4 text messages. The first one at 6:30, so you see, texting pretty early.
Yeah.
But I was definitely asleep at 6:30.
Yeah.
You said 17 minutes in. This is a fucking tough watch.
I was like, what? Because I was like, I had to wake up to watch that before the All Blacks started.
Game, yeah.
And I was an idiot because I thought the All Blacks game started at 8, but it started at 9.
So you could have slept a bit longer.
Another hour.
Then you sent me another text message saying, holy fuck, Knuckle, it's looking better now, 59 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you sent me one a bit later saying, what the fuck is this game? And then the final one was just 5 exclamation marks.
It was great. It was maybe my greatest rugby viewing experience as a neutral.
I mean,
I wasn't really that neutral. They
weren't given a chance to win.
No.
They weren't given a chance to win with a fucking bonus point.
No.
And they sure as fuck weren't given a chance to win. What was my third point? I had a third
after
point.
After 17 minutes?
After 22-0 down.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit.
Yeah. And it just looked like, for those first 20 minutes, it looked like, like a world-class team like the All Blacks or South Africa playing the likes of Zimbabwe or something like that. Just like running.
Felt like a mismatch.
Like training run tries, you know, and you're just like, oh God, they're on a different level here. This is just a different class.
Yeah.
So it was, I was just like, oh, because you're kind of going, you know, the Box are probably going to get this. Let's just hope they can
make it. You want a good game. As a neutral, you're just hoping, let's, a good game.
And I was just sitting there going, oh shit. I was seriously considering going back to bed. I was like, probably get a couple of hours. I was like, this sucks. And I was like, just grit my teeth. And I was just sort of like, and you don't even want to get on your phone because you're like, can't do anything else, can't, because you're locked into it because of spoilers and stuff like that. So I was just like, okay, let's just like raw dog through this shit. And from 20 minutes on, there was a lull.
Yeah.
There was a bit of a lull.
Got a little bit scrappy, but it certainly evened out in terms of momentum.
But you just thought, okay, the Box will just rev up again and then they'll get a bit of points. Maybe there'll be a little bit of a resurgence from the Box. But the way that I kind of think about it in hindsight is, like, have you ever played, like,
Mario Kart? Yeah, I've played a few games.
Like Mario Kart, and like especially it's like arcades and like they're even like motorbike games, okay? And you've got a nitro button. And like you can just like use all your nitros, like three, you might have three of them. You can use all your nitros at the very beginning, and then you're going to be slow as fuck for the rest of it, or you can sort of pace it out and try and get it right at this finish line. It's like this South Africans just went, nitro, just used all their juice up, all their flurry, like all their emotional energy in that first 20 minutes. And then something must have happened psychologically for them to be like, oh, nah, this is, we've got this team. We're a much better team. Because the fall off was so dramatic, or their fitness was just terrible.
Yeah.
And then they stopped playing like Springboks, which was very, very weird. It was very odd to watch. They were getting so much pay initially from spinning the ball wide, beating the gain line just for fun.
Yeah, I mean, the carries like Etzebeth and Khaleesi and whatnot were just rampaging around the park. It was like, holy fuck.
Even
like, because the Lions did that a bit to the Wallabies, and I was like, oh, this is that plus a bit more. This is bad.
And then even the Lions beat on defense, you're just like, the Wallabies.
James O'Connor was getting like slammed behind the virus line, and it's like, oh, shit, this is welcome back to Test Rugby, James.
Yeah, Tom, he didn't look good for that first.
Tom Wright dropped a couple of high balls.
Yeah, the very first high ball.
Yeah.
That was when, you know, even Grant Williams, the halfback, was doing some good tactical kicking.
Yeah.
The kicking just left.
Yeah.
They stopped kicking the ball. It was just so weird. Like, the two games are actually quite interesting to compare with each other, because there was a period in the Argentina and All Black game where they were coming back into it, and the All Blacks were just like, okay, we're going to keep it tight. Just go to those areas that we need to go to, like the mall.
Yeah.
And, you know, get dominance and just get pay for the area that we're dominating in.
Yeah.
And the Springboks just lost their heads completely and played with zero intelligence. I really, really, really like watching Mani Lobok. I think he is just a beautiful player to watch.
He rips that ball like not that many guys can. He's got a fucking beautiful pass.
Yeah,
and he's got a really good like tactical kicking game, usually. But
I don't think they lose that game if they have Pollard. If they have someone in
calm shit down,
put them put them in behind, keep it a little bit tighter. Like, they were losing so much ball by spinning it to the edges and not having enough people at the breakdown. And and Mick Wright was just like, yoink, I'll take that.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it was just and so tasty.
Their lineout
went
was...
to shit. Mm. They didn't get the same sort of... dominance at scrum time doesn't seem to be that much. The bomb squad, pretty much ineffectual. Doesn't feel like the bomb squad anymore. It just felt like a couple of little bullets that they put out there. Yeah. Like, it didn't come all on at once. No. The bomb squad just not playing tight, not playing physical.
Yeah, didn't
flinging it about.
Didn't feel like Russie's regular thing. Like, he's in previous years, he's kind of had a formula of...
We should probably not be putting those right next to the mic each time.
Oh, yeah, true. It's going to annoy people.
Dunk.
I'll put this over here. Sorry, folks, if that's been bothering you.
Yes, we do apologize.
We were just talking about how sound quality turns people off, and we're like, boink! Boink! Sorry for boinking you.
Yeah, this is the last time we'll boink you.
Yeah. But yeah, 22-0, Curtly Aronza, Andre Estes, and Sio Khaleesi, it's pure dominance. And then the Wallabies, as you said, settle the game down. They do get the one through Peach.
Yeah, lovely try.
Yeah, really lovely try.
Beautifully works.
Creates a nice wee 2-on-1.
Yeah, lovely ball from O'Connor over the top.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, very, so... very nice. And just like, well, you know, like they've got something, don't they? Well, like we're really shitting on the Springboks in terms of the way they'll play it. They played that game.
They started the game phenomenally.
Started incredibly well. And... But you've got to really give the Wallabies so much credit, and we will. But in terms of the way they started that game, there was a little part of me as an All Black fan going, this team is just so, so wildly dominant.
Yeah.
Like, it's a little bit scary. But can they just not handle that pace for that length of time?
It's an interesting one, because I heard Joe Schmidt speak after the match. And obviously, after the match is done, it's easy to kind of put the rose-tinted glasses on and just have a look at everything went well.
Yeah.
Like, one of the journalists asked him, oh, you guys seem to be really, like, fired up in your warm-up. You guys look to be really hungry for it, and la, 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 la. Is there anything special you're doing? And he's like, that's just the way we warm up. But we went 22 points to nil down.
Yeah,
so, like,
yeah.
I don't think that went that well. Like, we started pretty shit.
They just looked like a deer in the headlights for those first 20 minutes. Like, Will Skelton just couldn't get himself into the game. Couldn't get dominance. They were always getting the ball behind the gain line. Always had like some freaking rabid bock on them.
Really, yeah, a lot of pressure.
Off. Insane amount of pressure. So for them to even get into the arm wrestle was an achievement.
Yeah, exactly.
I was just happy when that lull came along. I was like, well, the bleeding stopped for
a bit. Yeah, because it was looking like this could be 50-60 worse. It was point a minute.
It was over a point a minute for a moment there, and you're thinking, geez, what are we looking at? 60, 70, 80 here?
Yeah.
But they just couldn't keep that pace, and the Wallabies just didn't have a quit button. Like, for them to still be at Ellis Park and not to have given the game away when I think so many international teams would have at that stage, and to be able to find a way to be able to force mistakes... To be able to take their own opportunities. They've got some seriously quality international players. Jorgensen and Tom Wright are phenomenal. Swahili, you just starting to discover his freak. He's a freak.
He is.
He's got that ability. Like, there aren't many other players you even take. I know intercepts people think they're a bit arsey.
Yeah.
But his height, his ability, his athleticism enabled him to take that catch. James O'Connor threw that ball over what's the name of the number 13 for us for South Africa? It's not as tall. He wouldn't have taken it. That's what my point was.
Esterhazen and Van Der midfielder was Creel.
Creel doesn't take that intercept. Creel's a fantastic player. He doesn't take that intercept. And then to have, and even the pace, like he had some jet shoes chasing him, and he's just one of those guys who looks like he's jogging, but he is freaking going.
One of the regulars on the channel sent me a couple of messages. He's like, do you reckon it's possible the box threw that game? Because he's like, looking at the way Edvald van der Merwe was chasing Sualii, it looked like he wasn't trying hard, and he definitely gives up at the end once he realizes he's not going to get him.
Oh, we're talking match fixing. Jeez Louise.
But I don't think so.
No,
I think he just doesn't get him.
No, I don't think. I don't know. I definitely don't think so.
I have rewatched it, and he certainly turns at pace and gives it a crack, and then Sue Lee. But like you said, he just looks like he's like cruising.
He's just quick. He's just quick. He's just.
Some guys look like that. Some guys like have got really quick legs, and they look like they're running fast, but they're not that quick.
Yeah.
I remember Reese Hodge was another one that looked lumbering. Like Reese Hodge was like, he took a while to get going, and he never looked like he was going that fast, but he could actually, if he got a chance to speed
even
up.
Kane
he was
and Moody's actually, a bit that way as well.
Doesn't look that quick. But yeah, second half.
Are you going to show us this beer here?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, just a quick look at this monster.
This is the beer I got for Rugby Forecast.
It was his request?
No. He didn't have a request, but I figured his script was trying to like confuse the whole rugby championship, rugby's greatest championship thing, beer. And I figured this was a confusing beer.
It's an Asian German style craft beer.
It's a German style beer, but it's a Chinese beer.
What the fuck? And it looks like it should hold tennis balls.
It says Mai Pilu craft beer.
I thought that was receipt.
But if you were to read that, you'd probably go like my pile. Yeah, like, I've got some piles.
My piles are big.
This is gonna give me piles. German style craft beer. So there you go. We'll give this a crack.
We'll give this a shout, eh?
Yes. It looks like it's from Shandong.
Do you want to crack it open?
Yes, I will.
Great. Well, here we go. We'll get back to the rugby soup shortly. Oh, damn, son. Oh.
All Chinese cans open that way. They don't do like the, you know, our cans are like you lift it and then
flatten. That doesn't feel as satisfying.
This one you need to rip the whole thing off.
Rip it off, baby.
Yeah, here you go, you can pour.
Thanks, darling.
Does it smell like my piles?
Yeah, similar. Okay. Oh. Got a bit of beer with my head because it's coming out of.
Thanks to Sports Forecast, by
the way. Golden sort of hazy-ish kind of.
Looks the same color as the can.
Looks like it's got silt on it. Okay. It does look a bit like the can. But no, just all in all, like, well, I don't want to sum it up too quickly, but one of the best games of rugby I've ever seen. Really?
How does this comeback rank in terms of just like the comebacks you've seen in your lifetime? Because as I said,
like
the Wallabies were not given a chance for a 1-point win.
No.
Let alone a 16-point win. Let alone a 22-0 comeback win.
They were unlucky not to put 40 on the board.
They could have put 40 on the board at the end, yeah.
38
literally.
38 straight points.
That's unbelievable.
What was a little bit concerning... There were a lot of things concerning from the box, I'd say. But the thing that I would have been most concerned about was like, okay, sure, you get out to a flying start. Congratulations.
Yep.
Okay, they've come back into it. Yep, games have swings and momentum.
Yep.
They've taken the lead. You're still 3 points. You're 3 points behind. You're right in it. But the way they just folded, the way that they just, it was just straight sets from there. Like... They didn't fire a shot. They offered zero resistance.
I still feel like they had chances, but the errors were just killing them.
Yeah.
Like, they
defensively,
had...
Defensively, they were poor.
They had... Yeah, they certainly were. Their tackle count was like 80%, which is for them tragically low. But,
The second... Wilson. Eight? Wilson try, and then leading to the next Tom Wright try, just went bang, bang. And it was like... They went from 3 points down to being... like 9 points ahead in like 2 seconds.
It was back to back tries, but
it was freaking La La Land. This was my face watching it.
One thing Joe Schmidt mentioned, and I was thinking it kind of as well, like the Suoli'i try, like you mentioned, it's an intercept which takes its own skill, but that's the box on attack getting put back behind their own sticks. And then Tom Wright's try, it was where they were like the box were countering out of their own 22. It's Creel, it's Esterhazen.
Yeah.
Jorgensen's tracking back. He puts a bit of pressure on them. They bobble it and Wright fucking gathers it. Gas, steps, try. But that's two Aussie tries that is kind of like, I don't want to say against the run of play, but opportunistic. Yeah.
But you've got to have the skills to be able to pull it off. And I know she's pissing down outside. Probably coming through the mic. But it's, you've got to have the players to be able to do it. The All Blacks rely on that a lot. They rely on individual brilliance.
Yeah.
And the Wallabies have got that now. With, you know, Tom Wright and Jorgensen, these guys are bloody great. And Swahili and... Well, it's very... Smells like a yeast infection.
This is not my favorite beer.
I have you. It tastes a little bit like a Hoegaarden. I'm not a big fan of a Hoegaarden either.
So you got to have the chances to turn defense into attack.
Yeah, and you've got to have the brilliance to be able to do it. Like, yeah. The way he stood up the last defender as well. Like,
Fulham's got stepped at one point. Yeah.
But the thing was, like, they showed a massive lack of brains to be able to, okay, we're the bloody Springboks. Mm. We just need to push it into the corners, play territory, and keep it tight. But they just kept on flinging it wide, kept on playing. Say, I hate this term, but the Springboks, just their style of play is they don't play too much footy and they'll just strangle you. But they kept on trying to play this expansive style that is not Springbok footy. And, you know, it's not something they're accustomed to. And sure, it came off really nicely when they had when all the passes were sticking and they had a full tank of gas in terms of their fitness levels. But when their stamina was run dry, they just did not have the ability to be able to pull it off in the fire.
Do you think they were looking a bit tired?
Yes. Mm. I think having Italy leading into this game, and one team having the Lions leading into this game, someone has come from the furnace, and somebody's come from a garden party.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's... Ellis Park does not seem like... The Lions is a once-in-a-12-year event for a nation.
Big
you know,
deal.
Like,
it's a massive deal.
If Australia had just played Italy and the Box had just come out of a hard-fought series with the Lions...
This is a different story.
Yeah, who do you think?
I mentioned that. Everyone was mentioning that. I thought if the Wallabies are going to have a shot, they're battle-hardened, maybe the Springboks are a bit soft. But even that's a long shot. A lot of people say, like, nah, man, look, the Box train against the Box. So they're going to be battle-hardened. But it's a different beast in training to game day.
Yeah, 100%.
So I think that's part of it for sure.
Is this whole like? It seems like Rossi is just very much about blooding new players, getting a huge amount of depth.
Yeah,
has a little bit of a 2007 rest and rotation sort of feel to it. Graham Henry days.
Yeah, he did say in his post match press conference, apart from saying the team played like dog shit, but he said we had already picked next week's team.
Yeah,
I think kind of assuming we'll win this one. And then we'll fucking rotate it. You know, we'll give some other guys a crack.
Yeah.
And he said, we're going to have to make some changes to that plan.
And we'd announced it to the team.
Yeah, we're going to have to change that. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Imagine having Andre Pollard.
He is in an awkward position of having double World Cup winners who are getting longer in the tooth and having to blood in some new guys. He's got new coaching staff. He's got Tony Brown and Jerry Flannery and whatnot. So they're playing different with different players. So I think, this is one game.
Okay, let's say it's 2014 in New Zealand, right? We've got Dan Carter, we've got Bodie Barrett, and we've got Aaron Cruden. Yes. And you're deciding, actually, I'm going to give all three of those players the same amount of game time to be able to blood them. And then we play Aaron Cruden, one of the biggest opening test matches of the Rugby Championship, because
he needs game time.
And we lose against Australia at Eden Park.
Yeah.
Because we didn't play the world's best number 10 at the time.
There's no right way to do it. You know, I do the depth charts every year. And it does feel like you probably still need to play your number one guy at least half the time. Well, and probably for the big games.
I just think the thing about it is I know I really love the World Cup. But the World Cup is not bigger than rugby itself.
You don't like the idea of everything pointing to a World Cup.
Yeah, I like the idea of everything pointing towards a test match.
Right.
That a test, like, obviously a World Cup final test match is the biggest test match that we can have.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of a test match being the most serious motherfucking thing two nations can do together in rugby. And it's just like, it's about all of your provincial teams, all of your franchises, all of your systems. What is the peak of what is the tip of the spear? What is your best versus our best? And let's just settle it in a test match. That's what a test match should be. And that's
why a test match is not just prep for the World Cup.
Yeah, a test match isn't about blooding my players and having their rotation and stuff like that. Sure, there's going to be time when injury forces it, or a guy looks a bit tired, or a form and all that sort of stuff goes out the door. But I think over a long period of time, if you can look at your test match history and go, hey, we've got a freaking 78% win record because we give the proper reverence to a test match, or... and we won two World Cups in that time. Or you can look at, like, well, we got a 62% win ratio in that, but we won two World Cups in that time.
Mm.
I know, man. Like,
priorities.
Prioritize test matches. I would... Andre Pollard puts them in the right spots in that game.
It wasn't a weak box team, though.
I just don't think money... like, in the crucial positions. Like, having, like...
Because they didn't really have a specialist 10 on the bench. They had Damian Willems on the bench, who's the utility guy, and they brought him on at fullback and left Marnie on for the 80. I know it's not just about Marnie Libok, but do you think you need to have Andre on the bench there as like you get at a jail card?
Yes, 100%. Well, I think you start with Andre, and Andre builds, maybe has a slightly slower start, but he accumulates points. He gets you out to a 17 point margin with 20 points to go.
Mm.
And then you let Marnie Libok come on and ice it.
Okay.
You know, like
the old Bodie Barrett role.
Yeah, like he's a classy, incredibly talented player. And look, if they played like that for the way they played for that first 20 minutes for the entirety of the 80, then this is a totally different conversation. Mm. We're just like, we're sitting there shitting our boots going, how good is this team?
Eden Park's gonna be terrible.
Yeah. But hey, Eden Park could be scary for a different reason. We're playing the fucking Wallabies here this year as well.
That's true. Two tests at Eden Park, folks. Is tickets still available for that Wallabies game?
I read the Springbok one sold out
in like a few minutes or something, or hours.
Yeah, right. I think I went to the last Wallabies test match there.
Okay, I've been to one in recent years. It was the one after we lost in Perth, I think, and then they came here at Eden Park and we flogged them.
I went to the one right in the middle of COVID when the rest of the world was closed down and we were like, let's get together.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah, it was a great day. Mm. We won, obviously.
We did. We didn't do that at Eden Park. Mm. But yeah. Next week, if the Box get their line out right and they can be more efficient at the breakdown, do you think this game swings back the other way?
I think they need to earn the right to play out with speed out wide, or they can test it early, and if they get a 20-minute start like they did before, good luck to them. But when shit hits the fan, they need to learn from this that they have one of the most formidable types playing styles of rugby known to the history of the game, and if they revert to that type, they are so hard to fucking beat.
Mm.
So if they reverted that type after the 18 minutes that they were crushing, maybe they only win by 28 points rather than freaking 80.
Mm.
But they certainly don't concede the next 38. If they just play territory, like put it in behind them.
Look to more, look to scrum.
Started to squeeze the life out of them a little bit. Mm. There was no squeezing. They got squeezed themselves.
Mm.
They lost. They just lost all resemblance of a South African team. It was bizarre, truly bizarre, you know. And it was really, really fun to watch. The funnest thing to watch. We were watching it.
Yeah, you brought it to my attention. I had a wee squiz before we started.
One of the greatest things you'll ever see on YouTube. Like this guy, he's a great caller.
Yeah, the commentary. I've never seen his live commentary before. It's quite amazing.
He's a really good caller. He's no Kiwi lads, but he's a great caller. He's a fantastic caller. All credit to him. A very passionate Springboks fan.
Mm.
But if you're a Kiwi or an Aussie who's happy about the result, it's going to be harder to find better viewing than the last 80 minutes of the live stream of Forever Sports.
The last 80?
Well... you know, the whole game, like, just fast forward to the tries. Go through and watch the tries bits. Yeah, him, he is just overjoyed. He's firing off all sorts of shots. He's watching his team the number one ranked, the formerly number one ranked, the number one ranked at the time, just crushing it. He's very happy about it. And he's
happy it's his team, as he should be.
And he's happy to tell you about it. But the just the slow destruction of that man's soul on camera as they fall apart.
Yeah.
He's passionate. And that's what happens when your team is losing in front of you. Sometimes
it's brutal.
It's brutal.
There is something,
and the guy put him. He's vulnerable enough to do that.
There is something.
It's pretty beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
We love to see that kind of thing. Like anytime the All Blacks lose, my videos do astronomically better. Yeah. Like All Blacks beat the Argentinians 41-24. Nobody gives a fuck.
Put a link to that guy's video.
Okay.
Yeah.
Forever it's, Sports. It's a good watch.
It's a great.
I still remember watching. I was doing a live stream with my old man the first time the Pumas beat us.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I remember him saying at the end of the game, like, oh, at least we're going to get a losing bonus point or something. I was like, fucking losing bonus point? The fuck are you talking about, losing bonus point? We're going to lose to Argentina. I was losing my shit. So, yeah. I've been there, done that.
I don't think I've had a real bad... I've done one or two live streams.
Yes.
On my own channel. I did one, and it was the first one I ever did was that game that we won at Ellis Park when we were written off.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just joyous.
Nice.
Just overjoyed. And I think I might have done another one.
Mm.
I don't know if we lost or won that one. And then the other ones I've done on yours. Have we lost any of the games that we've done together?
I think the Blues have certainly lost some.
Yeah. Oh, I think we watched the... Even when we just watched the Crusaders when we were very bitter.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah.
I thought we gave them credit, but I remember Chicago Steve said that you guys were bitching. I was like, oh, okay.
Damn you, Chicago Steve. You can see us. Our fake virtue that we were trying to be.
Good so sports. Do you think the box bounced back next week?
I don't know. I don't know. I just, the reason I say I don't know is common sense tells me, yeah, absolutely. They're such a good team. They'll learn the lessons from this, and they will... be out to freaking out for blood and watch out Wallabies.
Mm-hmm.
That's what kind of common sense tells me.
That's my gut feeling as well.
But there's something going on with this Wallabies team.
Mm.
And in every time we've said, oh, this week they're going to get smashed. They're all through the Lions series, even the first test match, I know they didn't play particularly well, but I was just sort of thinking, oh, they made this last 60 minutes kind of competitive. Right, so, and then they were very, very unlucky not to win the second. I almost said robbed, but very unlucky.
Mm.
And, you know, well-deserved, probably the most comprehensive winners of all the games in the third. They were out and out the best team in that. And then this performance, they're building something pretty remarkable. And, well, look, we haven't talked about him at all, but McWright.
Fraser McWright, man of the match.
Yeah.
Oh, tackles, turnovers, he was a beast.
He's the best player across the weekend for my money. And just... he is just ferocious at the breakdown. Like
the Aussies have always got fucking good sevens. Yeah. I don't know what it is. Like whether it was David Pocock, Michael Hooper, George Smith, fucking Fraser McWright, Carlo Tozzano. Yeah, like they got heaps of good sevens. But McWright,
he's up there.
He's up there with the best guys.
He's a real dog.
Yeah,
he gets in there and he's. We've been like a little bit happy for us. Us, you and me, because we've been pumping his tires up for years.
Yeah,
and he just always
because the Wallabies lose, nobody gives a shit.
Yeah, and we're like,
He is really good.
And we watched his form in Super Rugby, and like, oh, jeez, he always looks good. And then, boy, like he gets injured and he misses like a really important series, and we're like, oh, they could have really done with him. And, but he is that guy. Mm. He is so good. He's so good. Wilson played fantastically.
Wilson did play well.
Skelton's in there. Taniela Tupou. If those guys get into them early, like, I don't think they... Mike Cron's doing great things with that pack. You know, that includes the breakdown.
Yeah.
Like, they've got nothing to fear. Like, they don't have anything to fear. They've done incredibly well. They can go out there and just put it all out there again.
Well, they're already ahead... They're already doing better than expected by a mile.
Yeah.
They got a fucking bonus point win at Ellis Park. So.
Yeah. Amazing.
Even if they do get pumped in game two. 50-50.
I don't think they're going to get pumped. I think it's going to be competitive. I don't know. I think it's a 50-50.
Mm.
Who's going to win that one?
Okay. There was another game on.
Was there?
We beat the Argentinians.
Woo!
We had a big lead.
Yes.
They came back. And then it was we got looking a bit hairy, and then, like you said, we kind of went, oh, we'll just fucking maul you.
Yeah, exactly. We played a lot. We've been guilty in the past of...
Playing dumb rugby,
and then going, you know, playing a bit cocky and a little bit arrogant and being like, hey, we've got better backs. We're faster than you. We're more athletic. We can get around you. And dropping those last passes and not being clinical and stuff like this. But in this game, we were just like, you know what? You got no answer to our maul, so...
We're just going to keep doing that.
Yeah, and that got us out of jail.
It did. It really just suffocated the momentum that the Pumas were building.
Yeah.
And just took the game away from them. I mean, if anything, there's still some cool moments from our backs. Like, Will Jordan still looks fucking dangerous anytime he gets the ball.
Yeah.
And I thought Ratama... at times was like ripping passes.
Yeah.
We were looking good when we had the front foot, but at times it still looks a bit clunky.
A lot of
like Proctor still hasn't really shone at test level. Rico, I don't think looked that flash. ALB comes on at the end and fucking gets yellow carded. Like the backs didn't set the world alight.
They certainly
Will
didn't.
Jordan is still kind of an exception, but he's just Mr. Individual Brilliance. Whereas the forwards, the starting props,
Sevo played better than he usually plays.
He finished off a couple of nice tries.
Yeah.
But no, the starting props, De Groot and Newell, did really well, put the Argentinians under pressure. That got us position, got us territory, helped get tries. Adi Savi gets a more try.
Mm.
So the forwards look good.
It's a weird thing, and I'm definitely guilty of it, but in New Zealand, wins, this is part of being an All Black fan, we don't just give All Black teams credit for wins.
Mm.
Call it an All Black World Cup final, if you win by 1 point, we're going to be fucking thrilled about it. But in general, we don't just, if you win,
the way you won,
it's style points.
Yeah.
We judge All Black teams on style points. Like, you know, of the early 2000s all the way to 2015, it was all fucking style points.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just freakish talents, like scoring some of the most beautiful champagne rugby mm-hmm. tries you can score. So when other teams score more tries, we're like, that's fun.
Mm.
But now we're doing it, like, yeah, great. Hey, look, but it's clinical. It gets the job done. We played smart.
Mm.
We saw exactly why you should do it in the Australia-South Africa game. Mm. They chose not to go to their strengths and burnt the shit out of them. We had an advantage somewhere. We pressed that advantage to the maximum leverage we possibly could.
Mm.
But it's a little bit boring. A little bit boring to watch, in all honesty. And so many passes that just going nowhere. Going to ground.
Yeah.
Like,
that's the part that's frustrating. Very clunky. I don't
like it at all.
That's quite frustrating to watch.
Yeah.
Like, watching the backs go side to side, backwards, shelling passes, knock-ons.
So many shitty passes.
Yeah, that's...
So many passes where the guy's, like, half a metre in front or half a metre in the wrong space, and you're
getting caught behind the advantage line, it was, at times, tough viewing.
Yeah.
I mean, you still had, like, fucking Will Jordan... Individual brilliance. He set up, was it two? He set up Reese and Ratama, right? He got...
The first Reese try from the... That was a nice little
back
was, line.
Yeah, back line. It was Will Jordan that has the final pass over the top. And then Will Jordan sets up Ratama with a nice bit of footwork. Steps one of the Argentinian guys and it's just a nice halfback support line. Like, that's nice.
Yeah.
And Reese has one out on the corner. That's pressure from close range. And then you get the backs to finish it off out wide.
Yeah. Then it's just maul tries.
Yeah. Savia maul try, Tokiaho maul try, Tokiaho maul try.
Dominant scrum in the first half.
The replacement props from Argentina did better than our replacement props.
Yeah.
Like, they managed to get us at scrum time at least once.
Yeah, not a particularly pretty game to watch, I wouldn't say.
What do you think about the Argentinian comeback?
The second half. They were the better team in the second half for about 28 minutes.
Mm.
They
got some ball because they were struggling for possession in the first half.
They camped down out of line for ages. So they scored two tries in the first before we'd scored a try in the
field. Yeah, Albanoz got one from a scrum. Then, he's their kind of Will Jordan X Factor man. And then the number 8 Oviedo got one where he dotted down over fucking Finlay Christie.
Yeah.
Finlay Christie, he came on. Then immediately got skinned for the Albanoz try. Welcome and then got flattened by Oviedo. Oviedo went over the top of him for the second.
Albanoz, he's good. I like Albanoz a lot.
Yeah.
He's very, very good. I thought Pablo Matera played very,
yeah,
very well.
Yeah, he was very, very busy. Yeah, turnovers and tackles and carries.
Yeah, he loves playing New Zealand, I reckon.
He does.
Yeah. But it was a game where I feel very hypocritical because I'm sort of giving South Africa shit. about the fact they played dumb and we played smart. And I'm like, yeah, but it was a bit boring.
You know, I want to play dumb and lose, excitingly.
We've played dumb and lost. That's our big. That's been our kryptonite. Mm. Like, been like, these guys have been freakish rugby athletes their whole lives.
Yeah.
But now these guys, we're just having to like go, well, we've got a good forward back.
Yeah, let's just use that more.
Yeah.
Let's get 15 points from more tries.
Is it a bit, is it feeling a bit like Crusader rugby?
Yeah, I don't know. Jason Ryan certainly is a bit of a maestro with whipping up a forward pack and getting them to do good things.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And we do have some, like, we don't get credit for it as much. Like, I feel like a South African prop and a New Zealand prop at the same level.
Yeah.
Probably the South African prop gets hyped more because everyone loves South African props. But likewise, our outside backs. If we got an outside back at the same level as a South African, we probably hype them up a bit more because he's a fucking All Black.
I think it's part of it is because the amount of importance you lay on that part of your game.
That's right.
In South Africa, it's like, oh, we love the scrum.
Yeah, that's right. But we have genuinely really good props right now. We're
world-class guys.
Like, we've got fucking Lomax and Williams not available right now. And we still look mostly pretty good.
DeGroote and Fletcher Newell looked fantastic. Cody Taylor looked really good.
Exactly.
But we, and to be, because we don't rely on that part of the game so much. But then if you're the likes of a Kane and Moody or a, I'm a Pimpy or what's these guys, we would have, maybe similar. Would you reckon Mapimpi could have been like a Rokotoko kind of level, sort of Rokotoko? Mapimpi
wouldn't have made it in New Zealand because we get rid of them when they're like 27.
Yeah,
and he's
fucking
33 or some shit.
I'm missing Talia. I feel like we need. I'm not feeling wildly confident about our wingers.
We have some really good up and coming wingers. Like Tangi Tau was lightning and Super Rugby, got injured towards the end of the season. Leroy Carter's in the squad, hasn't got a game yet.
Leroy Jenkins.
Yeah, that guy needs a game. So I don't feel like, apart from Will Jordan, I know Seba Reese finished off a couple of moves, but I don't feel like we have electric wingers at the moment.
Seba Reese, everyone's favorite player, looked okay in this game. I've always given him a bit of crap in the. I always thought he's a great Crusader, not a great All Black.
Mm.
But he looked pretty good in this particular game. Like, he doesn't make a huge amount of mistakes.
Mm.
Finishes off the tries, puts in maximum effort into every contact he possibly can. Mm. Just seems like a pretty professional player across the board. But yeah, he's not going to light it up from and make something out of nothing at this level, for my money.
Savia does. He looks immense.
Oh, yeah.
Still like Artie Salvi, he's a good player.
Oh, he's alright, eh? I'd like to see him at number 7. And what's the story with Satiti and
these guys are not too far away.
Vai'i, where is he?
He's 6,
that's right. I prefer Vai'i in the locks.
But yeah, they didn't make him carry much this week, which was surprising because that's part of his game.
Patrick Tuipulotu is coming on.
He's injured now.
What did he do? Like, dented his head or something?
I don't know. He had a really great try saver.
Wasn't that where he injured himself?
Probably.
That was incredible.
It was quite incredible. They were in for all money.
They were in for all money.
Like, even the comical Nisbo was like, and it's, oh. Patrick Tuipulotu.
Superman is. Yeah. Frame into it's that other man's frame. Yeah, yeah, quite incredible.
That win means the All Blacks go number one in the world. Ireland.
Science, bitch!
Ireland go number two. South Africa's number three. You know what? The one thing
isn't it great? Hold on. Can we just take a moment to bask?
Okay, and the number one. We haven't been number one for a bloody long time.
Oh, basking it, baby.
Not since Fozzie.
It's just the stats. It's just stats, man. The stats say, the science says that we're the best team in the world.
The one thing I
suck on my chocolate salty balls. Stick it in your mouth and suck them.
I think yours are vanilla. The one thing I
stop banging next to the microphone.
Oh shit, sorry folks. The one thing I do like about the fact that we got number one in the world because South Africa actually lost a game, because the way the schedule was looking, we could have passed South Africa. Just by the fact that they couldn't previously take points from the Aussies because they were too far ahead of them.
So
we could have passed them in kind of a, well, we're both winning, but we can mathematically take points. we could have, like, if, I don't know if it would have been this week or next week, but if we'd won both games and they'd won both games, they would have got nothing and we would have just kind of,
Don't mind me.
That would have felt a bit bullshit.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The fact they lost and we won makes it at least a little bit more, the rankings look more genuine.
And they lost by playing dumb and we won by playing smart.
There you go.
Yeah.
Number one in the world.
Holy smokes.
For what it's worth. It doesn't come with a trophy.
No, it doesn't come with a trophy, and I personally don't think that the All Blacks are the best team in the world right this moment.
Apparently Razor didn't even know. He was like, oh, okay.
Well, it doesn't mean anything.
Not really.
But, like, I'm only ever happy with a number one world ranking when we're just, like, on 96 points and we're, like, 3 points clear of anybody else, and it's just, like...
Dominant.
Super dominant. But otherwise, it's just all bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, not just... One of your greatest videos.
Yeah, I loved it.
But it's... are you going to do one this week?
I've recorded it already. Haven't published it yet. Yeah. It'll be up by the time you see this video.
Yeah. It's... but it's... I guess it's interesting. We've done it. We've got to that point. But
how long we hold it will be interesting.
I think you also got to consider the fact that
they can beat us over here.
We played a understrength French team. And we got 4 points out of them as if they were like the number one.
Mm.
Well, we can't control
play who you play.
The French can do it.
The teams make...
Still quite a lot of...
The teams control who they like arrange matches with. Like South Africa chose Italy and Georgia and didn't get any points from it.
Yeah.
So that's just your administrators.
Yeah.
So that's just what it is. Like I said, I don't think the coaches at the top level really give too much of a shit.
Yeah, does anything...
Practically, for the teams around 5th, 6th, 7th, like it's more important for World Cup seedings, but for teams like 1, 2, and 3, they don't really care. I don't think much. I don't think they care very much.
No. Oh, well. It's nice to have, though.
There you go.
It's just one of the... It's just a...
It's a cool talking point.
It's a talking point, and it's just a nice little poker.
Exactly.
Just to stick it in them.
Exactly.
A little bit. To be honest... I'm fucking thrilled with this weekend. Yeah, I really am.
All Blacks won.
The All Blacks won. You know, we had to overcome a little bit of adversity. And you know what? I think most of world rugby would be pretty happy about this because
everyone loves seeing the David and Goliath thing.
Yeah, but there's also another part of it. I think that you're sitting there slapping the thing.
Sorry.
It's okay.
It's force of habit. I keep trying to reach for a beer, which is not there. It's over here.
What was I going to say? I think the Brit... One of my... When I was watching that thing, I was like, oh, you just know that one of the first 20 minutes I was watching, I was like, after this game, you just know the comments are going to be full of like, shows how shit the Lions were. We would have absolutely dusted them. We did 80 points on a team that... And I was just... Could hear that in the back of my head. So I think, and I'm not a Lions fan, but I think Lions fans would be like,
see, they're actually a pretty decent team.
Yeah. I think that's true. Great.
It wasn't all good for you this weekend, though, because North Harbour
lost. To fucking Hawke's Bay.
Sorry, we're not drinking the Hawke's Bay beer this week. Oh,
shit. That was depressing. It actually bummed me out. I was not happy watching that.
36-22.
Number 10. And it's like, I think it was one, but at least maybe two. Like, I watched one of them, like, dead set of penalties, like, from in front. And we got ourselves back into the game, and then we let it go.
Hawke's Bay are 3 from 3. They're going well.
Do the sound.
What sound?
Baywatch sound.
Oh.
Some people stand in the darkness.
At least you did better than Auckland, who got beaten 50-8 by Taranaki.
And what's his name?
Josh Jacob got a hat trick.
Josh Jacob, he is the guy that we might be talking about in the future.
Certainly one of those future potential guys. Your other Bay of Plenty got beaten by Canterbury 21-7.
Put your hands.
Oh, sorry. All right, I'm not going to touch the notepad anymore. I'm done. I got no more notes.
That's probably nothing.
I'm so sorry.
Josh Jacob, he looked so good. I don't know if it was just... It was miserable. It's miserable weather there. It was pissing down with rain.
Yes.
But, I saw a couple of the tries. He looked sensational. Just real gas.
He's like, the NPC.
Yeah, looked, and that was... I've never seen Auckland get beaten like that. Hey, one thing I just wanted to bring about the... talk about their South African loss again for a second.
Okay, come back to that.
Have you ever seen the All Blacks... give up a 22-0 lead? I don't think I was just trying to, I was thinking about it. I was like, have we ever given up a lead like that?
I mean, we had a big lead against the Pumas, but we brought it back. What were we up by?
We had a lead against the big comebacks against us, I remember, in history. The two France quarterfinal, oh no, semifinal and the quarterfinal in 1999 and 2007. But I don't think they were 22 points. I think we might have been like 10 or 12 or something like that.
What were we up against the Pumas this weekend? We were up pretty...
We didn't lose. We won the game.
I know.
31... Was it 31-10 at halftime?
Yeah, because they had a penalty and a try. And we had three tries.
Yeah, because we got a late try, didn't we?
Anyway.
Have we ever given up?
I don't know.
I don't think...
Not by that much, surely.
I've got a relatively decent memory of the All Black fixtures. Not in my lifetime.
22 points. Doesn't seem likely.
Just wouldn't do it. That's what separates the top class teams and the teams that just not quite there in terms of the greatest teams.
How do you see Argentina going this weekend against us?
I don't know. They could win.
Yeah.
I
think South Africa can go back number one if the Pumas beat us by 16 and then they beat the Wallabies.
I think if I had to put my life on it, I would say we win.
Okay.
And if I had to put my life on it, I would say South Africa win.
Mm.
But I'm more confident about us winning than South Africa winning.
Mm, interesting.
It's not that interesting. We won this weekend. They lost this weekend. Yeah. Australia, and I feel like Australia's a better team than Argentina right now.
Mm.
Yeah.
There are other games on this weekend.
How
Tonga is playing Samoa
just
in the Pacific Nations Cup.
How
far? USA is playing Canada in the Pacific Nations Cup, and the Women's World Cup starts this weekend.
Oh, yes, Ladies Night.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, how are we going to do Ladies
Night? There's so much fucking rugby.
How are we going to do Ladies Night? I don't know. I feel like the Women's World Cup is going to be so much harder to follow this time.
The time zones suck shit.
Yeah. Because it's all daytime footy as well.
It's mostly daytime rugby over in England, which means middle of the night.
Like, we're not talking like midnight, we're talking like 2 a.m., 3 a.m. starts, yeah?
Yeah.
Shit.
And the problem with women's rugby right now is there is one really fucking good team.
That hasn't lost since the last World Cup final.
In England. Then there's like Canada, New Zealand, and France who are like...
Okay.
Pretty good. And then there's a big chasm to kind of everybody else. I mean, I guess you could argue the same with men's because how many World Cup winners have we had in men's rugby?
Only one from the Northern Hemisphere.
And then the other three rugby, Tri-Nations teams. So yeah. I guess you could argue the same, but I feel like the men's is at least, there's a bit more parity, there's more upsets. It might happen, but I can't see some of the teams in the kind of Ireland, Australia, Wales, Scotland range doing much in the women's, but I'm far from an aficionado with the women's game.
Hopefully someone's got something special packed away.
Mm.
I feel very far removed from it this time around, just due to the fact that last time it was like in our backyards.
Yes,
it was bloody down the road.
Down the road,
of Westpac. Well, what's that name?
Trust Arena.
Trust Arena and stuff like.
Went to some of those games.
Yeah, you did, didn't you? And it was it felt very much a happening thing in New Zealand, where it feels like we're very far. We couldn't be further away.
I think ticket sales are going pretty well.
Yeah, well, I'm assuming people over there are feeling pretty buzzed about it. You got the. Is there any world that in England doesn't get it done this time?
Seems very unlikely, but I mean,
it'd be pretty fun if we got up again, wouldn't it?
I would like that.
Yeah, I would. You're gonna watch any of it?
I'll definitely cover some of it, but just time is such a.
Will you wake up for the final?
I'll definitely watch. The big knockout games.
Well, you wake up for them.
Hopefully that the final's a nighttime game.
Yeah.
That would be ideal.
Probably won't be.
I hope it is. Talk while I check up, see if it's...
So, in my youth, I had this...
I thought talking about rugby. Oh, no, they don't have the final time listed. I'm sure it's just somewhere. It's not on Google.
Right.
But yeah, like the times for us, you're looking like there's a 6:30 a.m. for the opener. That's England against the USA. You got 11 p.m., 1:45, 4:30 a.m. There's a lot of 4:30s. Like the first New Zealand game is 4:30. New Zealand, Spain.
Is that recording you?
I don't know. Nah.
Just not at all. We need to sort. I need to do a test on that, don't I?
Yeah. So Spain 4:30 a.m. Japan, we're playing them at 1 a.m. We got England at 4 a.m. Oh no, Australia's got England at 4 a.m. We got Ireland at 1:45 a.m. There's a bunch of shitty times. We're not thinking about Tony and Mark when they set the schedule.
Come on, what did you think of like New Zealand's fourth biggest?
West Auckland's.
Oh, yeah, West Auckland's fourth biggest rugby podcast, recorded by two non-rugby players, non-former internationals. Called
2 cents Guess the Strength of the Rugby Podcast. It's available on all your regular rugby podcasting platforms. Like iRugby Radio.
Yeah, like Rodify. yes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your fucking podcasts.
Thanks once again to Sports Forecast for their sponsorship. To Z Electrical.
Let's just read their shit out one more time just to give them some real love. Z Electrical, Z-electrical.co.nz. You can get Zane and 0212. I feel really weird about this. I want to give my.
You just put the. I'll put the details in the description.
Details 0212-228-208. Zane at Z-electrical.co.nz. His sons play rugby too. Should we do this? Should we do this straight?
No, we don't need to do it again.
Do it straight. I'll do it straight this time.
Give me my one then. You've got your own one.
No, I don't.
Exciting news, Tony. We've got a bonus second sponsorship, specifically for a kickoff weekend of the Rugby Championship is back. Are you excited?
Wait, did you say Rugby's Greatest Championship?
No, just the Rugby Championship.
Oh, I thought you were talking about... Oh, I still can't do it.
You can't do it.
Can't do it. That's rough. Sorry, okay. All right, fantastic. Next week...
Thanks for being here, Phil.
We've got more rugby coming.
Yes. I'm just going to keep...
I apologize.
I'm just very handsy.
He's very handsy.
I apologize.
I know we had to get HR in here.
There'll be a new cord next
week. Yes, I'm sorry about the sound this week, team. Hopefully it didn't sound too bad. Anyway,
take care,
see ya.